Audio for the Retro Computing Roundtable is hosted by CyberEars. When you need a rock-solid platform to host and distribute your podcast or other audio media, head over to CyberEars.com. Fast, reliable hosting with unlimited bandwidth. CyberEars is your audio on your terms.
Well, hello, and welcome to a combined podcast with the intent to cover the exciting new Vintage Computer Festival that's occurring this year after a long hiatus, VCF West.
Well, it seems the Emerald City is far behind me now, and my world has changed back from black to white. But no matter where I go,
I'm Randy Kindig, and I have my good friend here with me, Earl Evans, to cover this auspicious event. Hey, Earl. How's it going? How are things with you?
Things are great, Randy. Really fun. My family and I went out to go see the new Star Trek movie this afternoon and loved it.
Oh, I really want to see that.
Yeah, it was a good one, I got to say. And I'm really happy to share the podcasting duties with you today to cover an event that's been sorely missed. I know I've been hoping that it would come back. You know, in 2007, there was an event simply called Vintage Computer Festival. Held in Mountain View, California, with a $20 admission fee.
And yeah, even though, unfortunately, though the West was where things started, that turned out to be the last such event out there for a while, until this year.
So to commemorate that, we thought we'd do a shared podcast for the Retro Computing Roundtable and Floppy Days to get the information out to everyone.
And thanks to the Vintage Computer Federation, things are back on track for this event, and Earl and I are here with a special guest to help us tell you all about it.
We are on the line with Evan Koblenz. Evan is a long-standing member of the retro computing community. He's knee-deep involved, or probably more than that, with the Vintage Computer Federation. Also, the author of Abacus to Smartphone, a history of mobile portable devices, and just a great all-around guy, and we're happy to talk with him today about Vintage Computer Festival West. So hey there, Evan, how you doing?
Hello, good to be back.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you. It's been a while.
Well, just a few months since VCF East, I guess.
I guess so. I wasn't in on that particular round, I don't think. But it sounds like that was a great show.
I didn't get a chance to go. I wish I could have. One of these days I will.
Yeah, I wish I could go to VCF West. I'm not sure if that's going to come together for me. I just started a new job, and they might kind of frown at me if I go taking time off. But we'll see what happens. But, Randy, you said you had some questions. Why don't I turn over the microphone to you and let you lead off with Evan?
Sounds great. So, Evan, it's great to talk to you again. We've talked several times in the past, but I'm just curious. It's great to see the reemergence of VCF West, but what prompted that, and how did that come about?
Sure. So I've got to give a little backstory, I suppose. So Salam Ismail founded VCF, which is called VCF, there was no West, back in 1997, and he ran it, I think, every year except 2001, until 2007. I forget the exact details, but I think it was scheduled for like September 12th or whatever that year, and obviously it's, 9/11 happened, so that was canceled. Meanwhile, other VCFs like East and Midwest and Southeast and Europa started popping up with Salam's Blessing, run by other people. My group, my old user group had VCF East. And then Salam, he changed directions and didn't run the show for a while. And, within the last couple of years, there was certainly plenty of pent-up demand ever since, if you ask me, I put it, the day Steve Jobs died, as their hobby became mainstream, in my personal opinion. So there's been lots of pent-up demand for the show, and it's not so much that people decided now is the time to bring back the show, it's that several of us, with Salaam's blessing, you know, wanted to bring it back a long time ago, but we just didn't have the right people, the right resources in place. And it just so happens that as of last winter or so, the right resources and people happened to come in, when the right pieces happened to come into line that made it possible. So it's not like we just decided to bring it back. We've wanted to bring it back for a long time as a Salaam, but it just had the right logistics finally happened. And so as soon as the right logistics were available, we're doing it.
And we've talked about this before when we've dialogued about the vintage computer festivals, but when you talk about people and resources and that, if you're just an attendee, you might not realize, but it takes a heck of a lot to put one of these things on, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm sure I've joked about this before on your show. You know, some attendees come and say, well, what's a big deal? It's a weekend. You throw some tables and have a show. It doesn't work that way behind the scenes. So it takes months and months of planning and a lot of just business stuff behind the scenes. There's all sorts of logistics and tables and things to rent and people to organize, getting exhibitors to sign up, and insane amount of marketing that has to be done. You know, money comes in, money goes out. There's all sorts of contracts, and there's just so much stuff behind the scenes, like any other big event. And it's a labor of love for us, but you know, we all enjoy doing it.
So, Evan, how did you decide, and what was the process you went through to find out where you were going to have the show at?
Well, the where was a no-brainer, because CHI, I mean, the first one or two VCF Wests before I was even in the hobby were somewhere else, like some kind of fairground or something. I'm not really sure exactly. As of VCF West, like 3 or 4, whatever it was, Salaam started having them at the Computer History Museum, and so that's the only VCF West I ever knew. I started getting involved as of like number 6 or something like that back in 2003 or so. So that was kind of a no-brainer. That was the obvious place to hold it. The museum has expanded greatly since the last one, and we're all friends with the curators and stuff. So we didn't even consider anywhere else. We just called them up and said, hey, we're back. And they said, great, you know, we're on board. As far as the timing, we know it does conflict with DEF CON. We're sorry about that. We'd like to go to DEF CON too. But this was the weekend CHM had available on short notice. For 2017, we'll try to schedule a better weekend. It doesn't conflict with other stuff.
So for most people in the vintage computer hobby, they know about the vintage computer festivals, but, you know, we get new listeners, and so some people may be curious, what do you do at a vintage computer festival? What's it all about?
Geek heaven, man. Geek heaven. Okay, so there's multiple parts to a vintage computer festival. The biggest thing, of course, is the exhibit hall. Anyone who's ever been or even knows about an antique car show, right? You see all these old, beautiful old cars from the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, all waxed up and shiny and awesome looking. And if you touch, they just, owners freak out. As for a test drive, yeah, right. You know, that's no fun. And my dad was an antique car collector in the 80s, you know, when I was a child, the 70s when I was a child. He took me to all these car shows and said, wow, look at that cool car, let's go for a ride. And he just laughed at me, like, oh, dumb kid, you know, what do you know about the world? And I was insulted by that, and I was insulted by the idea that, why do people have these if they don't drive them? What's the point, you know? I can't tell you with a straight face that I said one day if I have my own show, but when the situation worked out in my life that I did have my own show, in that case the VCF East to begin with, you know, well, so actually I take it back. Salaam had the idea originally, you know, hey, let's have something like a car show, but everything up and running. You know, how cool would it be if you went to an old car show and all the owners had to toss you the keys? Now, that would never happen, but why shouldn't it, right? So that's the main thing of VCF, is you walk into this big hall, and there are dozens and dozens of computers. There's mini computers of the 60s, DIY stuff of the 70s, micros of the 80s, even some older stuff or occasionally some newer stuff, all up and running for you to try. That's insane, but that's what it is, and it's awesome. Because you walk in and there's this cacophony of sounds and sights and lights and music, and everything from line printers to dial-up modems to disk drives and tape drives spinning, teletypes clacking. I love the sound of it. And then there's the lecture series, where at all VCF there's always some, you know, some amount of lectures by celebrities or just people who've done really awesome stuff. And of course, there's always a consignment area where people bring in their stuff. We sell it at consignment. People fund their trips that way. Other people get good deals. Those are the three main elements of any vintage computer festival. Sometimes they have classes. Sometimes they have vendors. Sometimes they have prizes, food, you name it. And sometimes they're at cool venues like the Computer History Museum, which is open during the show. Like at VCF East, we have a whole Friday schedule of classes. And by the way, we're going to try to incorporate that to VCF West next year. So that's the gist of it, is the exhibit hall, consignment, lectures, and then depending on the venue, you have other attractions, you know, as appropriate. But I want to emphasize, for new listeners, it is not a professional conference. You know, anyone in a suit and tie is deemed suspicious. And it is very, very family friendly. This is something where you bring your kids, bring your spouse, bring your neighbors and your friends and your buddies. And it's a truly a vintage computer festival, not a vintage computer professional conference. One way you can think of it, it's almost like a reenactment of the old West Coast Computer Fair and that kind of thing. You know, it's like a dramatic reenactment in color.
That's right. And without the sepia film effect.
Yeah, because when we first started on the East Coast 10, 12 years ago, we saw these pictures of some of the original New Jersey computer shows, which, by the way, happened a year before the West Coast Computer Fair. And it was the same geeky-looking guys and the same computers. You know, they had these primitive six-foot tables with, like, cheap tablecloths and, like, lame signage and nerdy-looking guys and a bunch of altairs and stuff. And other than the fact that those pictures were in black and white and ours were in color, it was like a dramatic – we didn't realize after the fact. We said, oh, my God, we had a dramatic reenactment. it was by accident, but it was really funny and kind of touching, too. If you took pictures of us in black and white and put them next to those, you really couldn't tell a difference.
Very cool.
Yeah.
You mentioned the lectures. Do you have any particular ones that you want to talk about that you know are going to be there?
Sure thing. I suppose, well, there's no official one that's the keynote. You're kind of all in equal standing. But I suppose the most significant one we have so far is a guy named Bob Ziedman, Z-E-I-D-man. Bob is one of the world's leading forensic software engineers. And he became noteworthy in our field back in 2012, I think, for doing a forensic analysis of CPM versus DOS. There have been all sorts of claims on both sides of the story for decades now about who may have copied what and who knew what, who didn't know what. I personally know half a dozen people who claim that Gary Kildall, before his death, told them there was a digital research copyright notice in DOS 1, but Gary's not here, and those people say, oh, you know, it's like my friend knew someone who knew someone, and no one really knows the original guy, you know. So Bob did a forensic analysis in 2012 and concluded that Microsoft did not have any code from CPM via Seattle Computer Products. However, at the same time as he was doing this, Bob was an expert witness in a Microsoft lawsuit, and he was on the Microsoft till at the time. So people say, well, he was biased. I don't know. I wasn't there. Now, that a couple years ago, 2014, I believe, Microsoft officially released the DOS source. So Bob was able to do a more thorough analysis, and he's going to present his new findings at VCF West. I don't even know. He hasn't even told me yet what he found. So I don't even know. If I knew, I wouldn't reveal it, but I don't even know what to reveal myself yet.
Fascinating. So like a Geraldo Rivera moment.
Somebody else made that reference about, is it going to be the King Tut thing where it's all about, you know, nothing's actually revealed? Or is it going to be about, oh my God, here's a smoking gun, you know? If I knew, I wouldn't tell you, but I don't even know yet. Now, everybody says, well, wait a minute, it's VCF West. You've had WAS before. We've had WAS three times at VCF West before. Is Steve going to be there? Steve's response is, I don't know yet. I'll let you know soon.
Yeah, his travel schedule. He's a busy guy.
Well, he posted on Facebook a week ago that he's done traveling, like, for a while now. Actually, I take it back. That was a different thread. But he's promised to let us know soon, and he promised if he's free, he'll be there. He's been there several times in the past. When he does show up, he's insanely generous with his time. So if he says yes, we'll let everyone know. Of course, there are other speakers. For example, there's Bruce Dimmer of the DigiBarn. He kind of put his – he has a private museum kind of, you know, outside Silicon Valley, which he had put on hold for a couple years to do his PhD. He finished his PhD, and he's sort of reevaluating his collection and finding a lot of awesome stuff he barely even knew he had. He's going to talk about that. We have Al Acorn, Steve Russell, and Don Woods, all going to talk about early computer gaming. And, of course, Al Acorn, Atari Connection, Slug Russell, Space War, PDP-1 Connection, and Don Woods, a little thing called Adventure, right? Lee Felsenstein, everyone's famous Homebrew Computer Club member, is going to talk about why does vintage computing matter? If I figure that out, I'll let you know.
And, oh, we know why it matters.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Try to explain it to me sometime. And Christine Finn is a classically trained Oxford archaeologist turned journalist who's going to talk about archaeology of the digital age. That should be fun. It's always good for us to have some culture. A few other people. We're still adding some more. Some crazy guy, I don't know, Evan something or another. I don't know. So, that's me. And, of course, CHM will have its PDP-1 and IBM 1401 live demo labs up throughout the weekend. So, that's what we have so far.
So Evan, I've got a question. So somebody who's been to a couple of these, I've been to West and I've been to Southeast. Mm-hmm. I've not got to East yet, but I've seen a lot of pictures and heard a lot about it. Is there going to be anything different about VCF West? Is it going to be very similar to East? Can you provide any insight there?
I think two things are going to be different. I mean, even if you look at East-East or Midwest-Midwest, shows differ, a different vibe sometimes every year.
Right.
In my opinion, I guess my prediction is there's going to be two things that are really different about this year's VCF West. One is just going to be the excitement of it's back. There's a lot of people out there.
Sure.
Who are just, we've been waiting a decade for this, there's that. I think it's going to be awesome. I can't wait to see that vibe. The other thing is, just by nature of where it is, people tend to have stuff at VCF West. They don't have the other shows. People dig up some crazy stuff exhibit-wise. And I'm sure, you'll ask me about some of the unique exhibits, so we can just go right into that now. I'll dive into it.
Yeah, sounds great.
Okay, so first of all, there's two other museums exhibiting there. In Oakland, there's the MADE, which is the Museum of Art and Digital Entertainment. They have some cool open source stuff, they have something called Habitat, which is a Commodore 64 MMO. They do a lot of restoration stuff, so they'll be exhibiting. And then Paul Allen's gig, the Living Computer Museum in Seattle, is also going to exhibit there. So it'll be fun to have other museums represented. There's someone who restored an IBM 1130 mainframe who will be bringing to the show. That's definitely unique. A guy named Stephen Kastner at the old VCF used to show off his solid state Monopoly game that he made back in the 70s or 80s. He dug that out of storage and fixed it up, so he'll have that again. That's pretty cool. There's a Multics exhibit. Rare computers from Japan. Oh, you guys have heard a lot lately on social media about the Monster 6502.
Mm-hmm.
You guys heard about this, right? So,
yeah.
Ricky Schreeder, mm-hmm. Somebody made a complete MOS 6502 on a 15x12-inch circuit board entirely out of transistors. That's insane. And they showed it off at Maker Faire Bay Area. It got a huge reception. So they're going to be bringing that to the show.
That's cool.
One person made a differential analyzer out of Mecano, which is like British Lego, I guess. An analog computing exhibit, a big Amiga 30th anniversary exhibit. Someone's doing like a mechanical calculator exhibit from the 1800s or whatever. And one of the unique things is, so remember web rings from the 90s?
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah. So I didn't know there were any left. And so I was just Googling some of the past VCF exhibitors, trying to dig some of them up. And I found one or two guys who basically built like these homemade 8-bit computers out of all kinds of different CPUs and all kinds of technology, but they're literally homemade. And I don't mean just like SBCs and stuff, but complete systems. And I found one or two of them, and they linked back to each other, and they actually had a web ring, like, thriving in 2016. So there was a whole bunch of people. There were, like, a dozen people there. Actually, more. There were, like, 20 or 30 people there on this web ring of DIY 8-bit computers, more than just SBCs. And maybe, like, half of them, the links and web pages were still live. So I figured maybe I can get one or two of them to come to the show, start emailing them, and there's like six or seven or eight of them said, oh, yeah, let's do it. So I'm thinking maybe we'll do like a, I don't know, like a homemade computer pavilion or something. I haven't really decided to lay it out yet. There's one guy who calls his computer a BMOW. I said, what's that? He said, a big mess of wires. All right. One guy has something called the Magic One Homebrew CPU. One guy calls his computer the Big Bit. So there's a whole bunch of these things that are just their own little subset of vintage computing, and they'll be there. So that's kind of cool.
So awesome. I mean, I don't know if a weekend would be enough to see all this.
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you there.
Especially if you figure in the lectures. So it is a weekend, right?
Yeah, no, it's a Saturday and Sunday, and hopefully next year I want to add in the Friday classes that we started doing at VCF East. I got to give a lot of credit to Eric Klein. So Eric Klein runs Vintage Computer Forum, which our nonprofit Vintage Computer Federation acquired. So he's part of our board now. And he is in San Jose, whereas our other board members are here in the East Coast. So Eric's been our point man out there at West, and he's doing most of the grunt work for the show. So this is his first one. He's doing most of the grunt work. So we don't want to overload him first time around. So, you know, this is almost going to be kind of like, I don't want to say a scale back VCF West because we have 31 exhibits already, which is as big as anyone in the past. But it's going to be kind of a simple VCF West, and next year we'll go crazy.
So do you want to give the particulars about the show, cost to get in, the dates, that sort of thing?
So it's Saturday, August 6th and Sunday, August 7th. Saturday is 9:30 to 6, Sunday is 9 to 5:30. Tickets are available online at our website, which is VCFed, the Computer Federation, VCFed.org. Ticket prices are real simple, $20 for one day, $30 for both days. Could be simpler than that. 17 and younger gets it for free, so real simple pricing. If you're a CHM member, I think you're doing some kind of discount. I'm not exactly sure, to be honest about that. That's it, really. It's real simple. on the website is links to our Facebook and Twitter and all that jazz. But we're keeping it kind of simple because, you know, we have a new producer in Eric, and it's been 10 years since the show happened. So we're doing the keep it simple is a stupid method.
And the Computer History Museum's in Mountain View, California, correct?
Right. It's a cool building. The building used to be a Silicon Graphics marketing building. So it's all glass and steel and stuff. It's a really fun building. I haven't been there since the last VCF West, actually, 2007. So I'm looking forward to seeing it myself because they redid all their exhibits since then. They used to have what they call it, live storage or something like that. I forget, but they had a visible storage, they called it, where it was just a straight chronology in one giant room of their best computers. And it was fascinating to people like you and me, but to people who weren't as familiar as we are with the field, it wasn't the best exhibit because it was just a straight line chronology and it wasn't a lot of context. Now they have their exhibit called Revolution, the First 2,000 Years of Computing, which is a serious museum exhibit. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. Remotely, I was one of four advisors for their mobile computing exhibit, so I'm looking forward to seeing how that turned out because I helped them make it.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
A question for you. So Eric Klein, his Vintage Computer Forum has been one of my main go-to places for years and years. And I didn't actually realize he was out that way. That's really cool.
Yeah, he's in San Jose, yeah.
Yeah, that he's involved in all this. So the Vintage Computer Federation, how did all that come about? And also the decision being taken to also incorporate those forums into it, because that all seems like a great thing, but I don't really have the inside track of how that all happened.
We agree it's a great thing. So here's how it went down. Maybe about 3 or 4 years ago, Salam called me up one day, because, you know, we're all good friends in this hobby, right? And Salam called me up one day and said, you know, I really feel bad that I let VCF West kind of slip. I want to bring it back. I don't have the bandwidth now. But hey, Evan, you're doing a great job at VCF East. You know, why don't you do it? And I'm like, oh, I got my hands full out here in New Jersey. Thanks very much, dude. You know, so and he said, well, what if there's a nonprofit? I'm like, in theory, you know, he said, what if instead of it being a Salaam thing, what if it's a nonprofit and a board and everything? I said, that could work. And he's like, well, Evan, you know, he goes, why don't you at least be, you know, be chairman of the board and get that going? I'm like, what did I just say? You know, I'm like, I'd love to. I don't have the bandwidth. So he said, all right, well, you know, thanks anyway. And that was that. Meanwhile, last summer, last fall, for a whole variety of, like, just business reasons, my old user group here in the East Coast decided to stop being just a computer club and become a 501c3 nonprofit. We're based at a larger science museum, and they wanted to work with, you know, more professional organizations, and we were getting too big to be just a computer club budget-wise. And okay, it's a good time was right for us to become a nonprofit. So we did that. And then it occurred to me, I said, wait, you know, I wonder, Salaam mentioned a while ago he ought to have a nonprofit, and now we're going to be one, you know, maybe it could work now. So I called him up and said, hey, you know, we're going to be a nonprofit anyway, so maybe we could do this now. And he said, okay, you know, yeah, you know, I would be willing to do that in principle. And then I thought, well, you know, user groups, and there's other user groups out there beside the East Coast group, of course, and there's a lot of metropolitan areas where user groups ought to be formed. And I thought, well, what do user groups and festivals have in common? And the answer is they're both all about serving hobbyists, right? And growing the hobby and serving existing hobbyists.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, well, what else is about growing the hobby and serving existing hobbyists? I say, clearly the forum. And of course, we all know there's the two biggest places in the hobby are Classic Comp, you know, and Eric's Forum. And I love Classic Comp. I love the people on there. Jay West has done a phenomenal job. But an email list is not what newcomers find when they Google, right? They find Eric's Forum.
Right.
So I called up Eric and I said, hey, you interested in, you know, joining up in this? And he said, yeah, sure. So that was basically it. And it was funny because there were some individuals who I'm not going to name who later on questioned my motives and said it was a hostile takeover. I'm like, I called Eric up and said, hey, want in? He's like, yeah, cool. That was the hostile takeover.
How aggressive of you.
You know, it was like the most passive takeover. So, and I'm like, motives? I put my money into it. So anyway, so basically that's what happened. So we three realized the forum, the festivals, and the show, and the user groups are all about the same mission, right? So we said, let's do it together. We could do cooler things together than we can separate. And we don't really know what yet. We just know it's likely. So my user group, the old Legacy March, disbanded, and we formed an entirely new group. Originally, I had miscommunicated it, and said March became a nonprofit. That's not correct. March disbanded, a new group was formed. So the new group is the Vintage Computer Federation, 501c3, it's VCF Inc. And Eric donated the Vintage Computer Forum to the Vintage Computer Federation, and Salaam donated the festival. So the Federation owns VCF West, VCF East, and any new shows that come about except Europe, where Hans Franke has European rights. Southeast and Midwest remain independent, and that's cool. We've told them, hey guys, you want to be independent, we'll support you as much as possible. We'll get, you know, social media, website, we'll totally got your back. If you want to join up, that's great too. And so, but we have East, we have West, and we have any new shows that, you know, we form. And we have all kinds of ideas that I can't even talk about yet about where new shows might happen.
Okay, so that was my next question. Do you have plans to expand to other locations in the U.S.? Or
yes.
Internationally.
Yes.
Nice.
Okay. That's all you can say, right?
I really can't talk about it yet. I mean,
yeah,
nothing's in concrete. We've got a few feelers out to people and places. Mm-hmm. We're pretty busy with West now, obviously. So that's going to be a 2017-2018 endeavor. We will expand, but where and when, I don't really know yet.
Okay.
I got an email from one guy, and I hate to have, gosh, I don't even want, I won't use the exact city because I don't want to make fun of anybody. We got, you know, an email saying from somebody saying, hey, this is great. Why don't you have one in my city? And the city was like Podunk, Iowa, you know?
We're
going to go to major metro areas.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the nonprofit now is, you know, tax deductible, real nonprofit, forum, chapters, festivals, and hopefully we'll figure out other stuff to do. And so when I first got into the hobby back in like 2002, 2003, I had been involved in a lot in other hobbies, and most established hobbies have some sort of de facto hobby organization, association kind of thing, you know. And when I got into the hobby in 2002 or 2003, I was like, that's conspicuously missing. And within a year or two, I realized the reason why is the hobby was just too fragmented and small at the time. But I believe now was the time for that, and it all just worked out remarkably well, the right people, the right time. And so back to your original question you asked me on when the first call started, why VCF West now? It's not that we didn't want it sooner. It's that the resources weren't in place. And as soon as they were, we said, okay, now they are, let's do it.
So do you anticipate this being an annual event like the other VCFs? And would it always be in the same location, or have you thought that far ahead yet?
I totally think it absolutely should stay at CHM. CHM was a great partner for the old VCF West. They've been a great partner so far for the new one, and that's only going to keep improving. So, what would a better location be?
Yeah, that'd be kind of hard to top.
Right? Yeah, that's true. Location. That's true. But the West is a big place. That's why I was wondering, because...
Okay, well, yes, West is a big place, so get rid of that. Which is why VCF Southeast exists, right? We obviously, I can't talk about locations yet for new shows, but, you know, major metro areas, use your imagination, right? There's Boston, there's Seattle, there's, I don't know, Dallas.
Dallas, yeah, exactly.
There's places all over the continent and the planet that are huge areas where we could have shows, right?
Didn't there used to be a Southwest show?
There was a one-day show that Salam called it VCF Lite. It just didn't work out, but there's no reason to believe it couldn't work out. It just didn't, you know? Obviously, we've given thought to where there are existing communities in our hobby. Seattle, there's a big community, right? Obviously, there's huge communities in other continents that we know about. There's communities or hobby all over, and as they form, as we feel like there's enough of a demand to have a successful show, we'll do it. And there's a few other ideas that I really can't talk about. We've had other ideas, but I think they're all kind of obvious. So
this is really neat. This is very exciting to hear about. I mean, you can kind of tell from our hobby, our niche in podcasting, that the number of retro podcasts has just exploded over the last few years.
Yeah.
And there's some really good quality material coming out in the podcast world, interviews with a lot of the movers and shakers from back in the day and the people who are doing things now, and new niches that weren't covered that now are being covered. I'm thinking, one of the most recent ones that launched was the TRS-80 Trash Talk podcast. And I see the hobby growing, and I think you're right. I think the timing is good for something like this. So that's exciting to hear about, Evan. That's neat
Thank
stuff.
You. Hey, one thing I can talk about, because I guess I've probably said this to public before. So a whole crew, like four or five of the Southeast guys, came to VCF East back in April. And I was talking to them at lunch on Sunday, and I've talked to Hans Franke in Germany about this before as well. Wouldn't it be just freaking awesome if one of these years we had all the VCFs on the same weekend and a bunch of video link-ups in a VCF Galactica?
That would be cool.
Wouldn't that be the coolest thing ever?
That would be something, that's for sure.
Now,
of course, you'd have to pick which one you're going to go to, but
that you would do that first of all, and logistics would be a nightmare.
Yeah,
although bandwidth's just getting better and better, and so are big big monitors. So yeah.
Now you'd have to arrange schedules internationally across the planet. But it'd be really cool to like stream keynotes and have a corner where people, exhibitors, could talk to each other, and have someone with a GoPro on their shoulder walking around the show. And there's so many ways we could do that.
Wow.
And maybe have some part of it streamed online. I wouldn't want to stream the whole thing because, you know, we are a nonprofit. We have to people go and buy tickets to make money.
Part of it's being there.
But part of it's being there, yeah. But there's so many ideas. And Hans is really pushing me hard. He's like, okay, Evan, you talked about it. Come on, let's do it. You know, put up or shut up. But I'm like, maybe next year. Maybe next year. But that was just – I've had that idea for a long time. I don't know if we could pull it off, but that would be the coolest thing ever.
I mean, the dichotomy is cool, right? Using modern technology to talk about vintage technology.
The only part of it that I wouldn't like would be – VCF around the raw would only be one weekend a year.
Yeah.
That's true.
And I mean, now, what if we did it, you know, someone said, well, what do you do every 6 months? Well, listen, just running East once a year is hard enough by itself, you know? I don't want to do it every 6 months. So I don't know that. I don't know. It's a crazy idea. We'd have to give a lot of thought into it. Maybe just try it 1 year. I don't know, but... I also want to give this is completely off topic, but just before I forget, I don't even remember. I think it was Floppy Days where which one was Floppy Days when I was talking about my book? Was that you?
That was Floppy Days.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I mentioned how this is completely off topic. I apologize. Only mentioning it because I promised myself I wouldn't forget to mention it.
Okay.
I mentioned on that interview that I wanted to do an official Kindle ebook and I didn't know how.
Oh, yeah.
A month ago, one of your readers contacted me out of the blue saying, hey, I know how to do it. Here's the files. He just bought my book a PDF and he just did it.
Oh, cool.
And sent it to me.
Wow.
And I'm like, seriously? Like, this is awesome.
Beautiful.
He saw a need and he did it. And he's like, well, here's your files. I said, what?
That's what's so great about this community. If you have anything you need to do, somebody's going to step up and
give you help. So it's completely off topic, but I promised myself I wouldn't forget, so I'm sorry about that.
Hey, no problem. No problem. So I'm curious, Evan, how are you promoting the show? What avenues are you using to promote the show, besides our wonderful podcast, of course?
Oh, okay. That's the most important one of all. Yeah. Well, first of all, the usual, right? So, obviously, on our forum, obviously at Classic Comp, we're targeting as many blogs as we can. We target as many hackerspaces on the West Coast as we can. We target ham radio clubs out there in Silicon Valley because there's a lot of overlap in the hobbies. We target technology media. We target mainstream media out there in Silicon Valley. Now, Mr. Ziedman, who I mentioned as one of our keynoters, has his own business and he has his own professional PR person. There's also a group called Charity Buzz, which works with like celebrities and stuff to do help nonprofits. And they're from like July 20 something to August 20 something. They're doing an online auction of an Apple One. And they asked us if they could display that computer at VCF West. We said, of course, absolutely. And they have their own professional PR that's going to help us. And of course, we're going to drop hints for them wherever we can. And then there's a PR agency that I just happen to know someone for a long time who works there. He's upper management there. And I said, hey, you know, could you guys consider taking on the nonprofit as a pro bono client? And he said, hey, that's a great idea. Let's talk about it. So we may have our own professional representation soon. And many people know my day job is I'm a technology journalist myself. So obviously I know a lot of peers in the field and I'm on lists where they talk, and so I'm, come on, guys, do me a favor, write about this, you know. One of the challenges we have is every year the CNETs and Computerworld, Zitterworld show up, take beautiful pictures, publish slideshows a week later. We get great comments and likes and follows, and get all these emails from people saying, oh, this is great. I wish I had known about it. I live in Mountain View. I didn't know about it. I'm so pissed it was in my backyard. I found out the week after. So we're grateful for that media, but we try to tell them, look, you need to write about this before. Tell people it's going to happen. But as a journalist myself, an event announcement is not news. So it's putting on a PR hat is not something I'm comfortable with, but I got to do it. So
yeah.
Well, it sounds like you've got some avenues to get the word out. I'm curious how many people you're expecting.
Oh, I'm sorry. One more thing. We also have like a 4,000 person email list, constant contact.
Oh.
People I'm expecting, well, I don't have the official numbers from the old VCF West, but just by my personal attendance at three or four of them, I know it was pretty big. Obviously, a lot of hardcore people we've lost because of the hiatus, but there's new people. So the East Coast shows, Chicago, Southeast, tend to get, you know, a few hundred people. So I think it's, I mean, I'm hoping that it's safe to say that it's Silicon Valley, if you build it, they will come, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe double that number, maybe 1,000. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think, based on where it is and the pent-up demand, I think you're going to see in that range. I really do. I think you're going to be surprised at how many people you're going to get show up.
Yeah, it might even beat your expectations.
I hope so, because we just pay for a whole big freaking lot of T-shirts.
yeah.
And by the way, we have a great – did you guys see the preview logo we put online?
No.
Are you on browsers while you're talking to me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so go to our website, which is, again, VCFed, Visual Federation, VCFed.org. Oh, you know what? I didn't even post it there. I thought I did. No, I thought I posted it there. Are you guys on Facebook? You're on Facebook, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously, I talked. Go to our Facebook page, and which is for listeners is facebook.com/VCFederation, and then twitter.com/VCFederation, and just scroll down a few posts to July 6th. So look at the July 6th post and click on it to make it larger.
Oh yeah, I see it. Oh, that's nice.
So it depicts a phoenix rising from the sacrificial vintage computer. It's rising from the magic smoke released from a sacrificial vintage computer. And the reason why we did this is we figured, okay, the show is back after 9-10 years, right? It's resurrected. So we thought a phoenix in our official colors, the Federation colors, would be really cool. And so it's got traces as wings and our logo in the center and a cool phoenix head growling at you and stuff. And again, listeners, I'll post it on the blog. On our website, vcfed.org, before this goes to air. But it's really cool.
Yeah, this is really
that
nice.
That's awesome.
I like the wings being PCB traces.
Yeah, so it's a phoenix rising from the magic smoke of the sacrificial computer.
So are you actually going to sacrifice a computer at VCF West?
Not on purpose, but it always happens. I mean, every year at any VCF I've ever been to, I mean, okay, look. I've been to VCF West 6, 8, 9, and 10, so that's 4. And I've been to VCF East 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. So that's 9. So this will be my 13th VCF. And there's never been one where someone didn't smoke something.
You always
there's
use
always the honorary first blow capacitor award. So we'd rather it not happen, but is it gonna? Well, the odds are we're 13 for 13, so.
This is old stuff. It's going to happen.
So maybe we'll have some kind of special Phoenix prize for whoever. We'll have to declare the person who did it a saint or something. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I don't think I had any other questions. How about you, Earl?
No, I think I'm good, and. You know, as always, Evan, we've done this a few times. I always appreciate your time to let us know about these events coming up. People have a lot of great fun at these things, and so I'll try and turn this.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'll try and turn it around on the podcast feed soon, so that it give people a little bit of runway.
Yeah,
say
and if you guys could, please post on social media for your own podcast. And what I'd like you to post is to implore people to actually share the news, not just like it. Sharing it is how it goes. You know, liking it is great, but sharing it is what we really need.
Sharing is caring.
Yes. Think of that yourself.
That's our motto, sharing is caring.
Yeah, great always talking to you about the Vintage Computer Festivals, Evan.
Thanks, man.
And, yeah, thanks a lot for being with us. We'll get up on the feeds. We'll go from there. Evan Koblentz, Vintage Computer Federation, working on the Vintage Computer Festival West, its reemergence. After many years of quiet comes the Vintage Computer Storm. And we'll make sure that our podcast listeners are part of that journey with you.
We are a 2-bit community for an 8-bit world.
Indeed we are. Thanks, Evan.
I wish you a lot of luck, Evan. I hope you guys have a really good turnout.
Thank you.